kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Have a title today that we're going to consider, and we're calling our teaching Seeing Him Who Is Invisible. Seeing Him Who Is Invisible. And I want to base this from Hebrews 11 and verse 27, or the latter part of verse 27. That's Hebrews 11 verse 27. And here it speaks about Moses, who walked by faith. And it says here, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And this is what I want us to look at. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's repeat that again. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And we know that also the scriptures tell us that those who endure to the end shall be saved. And that is going to be one of the characteristic marks of an overcomer. One who walks by faith, but not only walks by faith, endures because they are seeing him who is invisible. And the same faith that this saint walked with God is the same faith that we walk today as well. And nothing changes. We need to remember, brothers and sisters, that being saved and seeing Christ are not the same things. You see, we have those who are content to be saved, or those that are willing to be saved by the skin of their teeth, but you've also got a remnant who hunger and thirst after righteousness because they want to be filled with the presence of Almighty God. And those who hunger and walk by faith, who are staying with it and who are faithful, it will cause you to eventually see him. And that is what our faith needs. A faith to endure and stand in these last days needs to see him. And not only that, but it also puts many things in this life and our walk of faith in perspective. You see, the promises of God's word are absolutely vital. But what is a great blessing is seeing the one who has shared and given these promises, whose name is Jesus. And you see, these great patriarchs, and what I've just read here in Hebrews 11, they had a vision. They had an encounter with God. And that is absolutely vital. And that's why Moses and the other saints, they saw him who is invisible. You see, if you're looking to man all the time, you don't grow in faith. And that is why God has, yes, he's been hard on us, and he will continue to be hard on us to get us delivered from trusting and looking to man and the arm of the flesh. We know God is gracious and merciful and patient, but he's still hard with us, And the message doesn't change because he wants us to walk by faith like these saints did, seeing him who is invisible. Can I say, without being regarded as getting it wrong or being a heretic, the word of God is not enough if it doesn't work in you seeing him who is invisible? The word of God which we preach, and faith comes by hearing, reading this word, it has to lead you to something or someone. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh. The Word of God is about someone. It is about a person. It is about God-man, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. Seeing him who is invisible. And this is why our call, our walk with God, is about a relationship. It is real. It is a person. It is Almighty God. And when people become legalistic about the word and about faith, and you can be, if you leave Christ out of it, or you don't have that understanding, or you're not seeing the one who is invisible, who is the author and finisher of your faith. If you don't see him, the word can become legalistic. Faith can become legalistic. And this is where some of it went wrong in the past. Failing to see the one who gives us faith, that gift of faith, whose name is Jesus. And that is how the saints of old, that is how Moses forsook the courts of Pharaoh, Egypt, because he saw him who is invisible. And that is how we have to walk, brothers and sisters, also. Else we're going to not understand what this is about. And this is why, because we don't always understand, we're not seeing him who is invisible. This is why we turn at times to the arm of the flesh. We turn to man. In other words, we don't grow in the faith. And that's why there's no real healing and deliverance taking place. You have to see the one who heals us. You have to see the one who makes these promises to us and doesn't break them. But unless you see him who is invisible, you're never going to fully enter into the land of promise and blessing. In other words, you have a shallow understanding of the word. You may be able to memorize the word. You may be able to quote it all from Genesis to Revelation, but you can still have a shallow understanding. Why? Because you are not seeing him who is invisible. This is why, sadly, so many theologians have a head full of knowledge, but fail to see him who is invisible. And that's why they cannot really walk it and experience him who is invisible. It is not enough just to learn the word and hear the word. You have to be touched by him who is invisible. And how does that happen? Well, by acting upon the word of God and the promises of God's word, and experiencing his healing in your life, deliverance in your life, revelation in your life, his provision in your life, moving you when there's no more energy left in your life. when he's manifesting himself in weakness in your life. That is seeing him who is invisible. And this is what makes our faith, our walk, our relationship, the deeper life, everything, it makes it real. Because you are experiencing the touches of Almighty God, your Father, in your life and heart and being. And this is what God is doing with the sons of God, with the overcomers. Let's turn to something we know very well in Mark 16. In Mark 16, verses 9 to 13. And here is where the Lord appears after he's risen from the dead. And look what's going on here in verses 9 to 13 of Mark 16. We're talking today about seeing him who is invisible. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. And after that, he appeared to in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. And brothers and sisters, that's still our problem at times. Because we're not seeing him who is invisible. And that is why we still battle over the promises of God's word. Because when you read his word, you are not experiencing seeing him who is invisible. You have got to approach this word that this is my Father speaking to me. When I read these words, these promises, this is God. He's speaking to me. He is alive now, this moment. He is ministering to me life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have got to enter into that experience, brothers and sisters, else your faith is shallow. I cannot stress this enough. And if you haven't got this, then ask God to impart this to you, because he will. Because you are never the same when you see him. When he appeared to Mary Magdalene, he appeared to the disciples. They were not the same. Do you know why? Because he told them that he would overcome death, that he would rise from the dead and everything. They didn't believe, they didn't understand, but when they saw him, they were changed. When Peter saw him and came and fell at his feet, he was not the same. And when you see him who is invisible, you are not the same anymore. Because seeing him convinces you. And here he was convincing them of the resurrection, that he had triumphed over death, that he is alive forevermore. Can you imagine that impact that it made on them? And on those early saints and the 120 in the upper room, they were not the same. Because they now were seeing him who is invisible. And this is right why great works was done and souls saved for the kingdom of God. The church has got to come back to a revelation of seeing him who is invisible. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We've got this idea today of lifting Christ up in worship or having seminars or whatever it would be. It isn't. It is seeing him who is invisible. And when you see him, you cannot help but lift him up. That is the church's witness and testimony and power. But praise God, we're in the times of restoration and we are entering back into these great experiences that the early Christians experienced. It's coming, brothers and sisters. Because they were convinced of him. They saw him. They saw that he had overcome death, resurrected, victory over death. That's the good news of the gospel that a dying world needs to hear. And we have to recognize the difference of what Jesus is and what he has done for you. So often our understanding of what he is, we know him theologically, what he is. We know all our theology on that. But what has he done for you? That is the question. If you only see what he is, it isn't big enough. Because you have to see a vision of him. And that's what Moses saw. He had a big enough vision of God that he was able to be used to bring out a nation, God's people, and to lead them in the wilderness. You needed to see him who is invisible for such a calling and ministry. And make no difference whether it's Moses, Abraham, whoever they are, the patriarchs, you are no different. God wants you also to have a vision of him who is invisible. Because if you are just going by experience of what he is, it's not enough. You've got to know what he's done for you. And the early disciples, they saw what Christ had done for them because they had fled him at his hour of betrayal. They had let him down badly. But look how God restored them. And not only restored them, but they saw him. How could they doubt anymore after that? And this is what God is doing with us, brothers and sisters. He's bringing us to a place where we're going to see him who is invisible and you could not doubt anymore. And this is where we're going to see the greater works. This is where we're going to see the gifts again in operation. Because we now got a big enough picture and impression of Almighty God. We have to be touched, brothers and sisters, as it's not going to happen. You have to have a vision of seeing him who is invisible. Let's look at another story we know very well. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. You all know this well, but I think this is quite applicable in what I'm talking about today. The man that was born blind, who receives his sight. Here's an example. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned this man for his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Oh, I love that. Do you not want the works of God revealed in you? Of course you do if you love him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he has said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, it's like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Didn't need to know, because he had seen him, once blind, but his eyes now opened. And notice that Jesus sent him. There's the authority. You can only be sent, brothers and sisters, when you see him who is invisible. And when you are sent by the power of the Spirit, the greater works are there. The miracles are there. Because you've seen the one who does those miracles. And let God work that revelation within our hearts. Because he's doing it, brothers and sisters. And this is why we're under such attack. This is why the enemy hates this. Because he knows what God is soon about to do. No one can see Jesus without your eyes being open. You cannot lead people to Christ unless your eyes have been open, unless you see him who is invisible. And when your eyes are open and you see him who is invisible, then you want others to see. And when you want others to see, then God will send you. Because you've got something to tell. You're not just quoting scripture or giving Bible verses, which is so much what they call today as evangelism. And I'm not saying the word doesn't have its place. But God wants to send you and I where the word of God has become real in our lives. That we are an extension and a revelation to the word of God, because the word of God has got hold of my life, my heart. I have seen him who is invisible, the word made flesh. That is what the church needs today. We've got it wrong. Lives have got to be touched again. Lives have got to see Jesus alive, living in his church. And when you see, you cannot help but tell and share with others, even if they believe it or not. But what you can do is that you can pray and intercede and ask God to bring them where you have been. Bring them, Lord, where I have been, that I now see him who is invisible. Pray that for the church. Pray that for your brothers and sisters. Pray that for those who are struggling in the faith. If you've seen him who is invisible, then your prayers and intercessions are powerful before God. The apostle prayed this for the early church, that Christ may be formed in them. Our prayers are too trivial at times. Then we're not always praying what the Holy Spirit wants us to pray. And we must give him time to do that. You see, the nature of the deeper life is having a vision of him and seeing the victory that was achieved at Calvary. Doesn't the word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good? You have to have an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We've just based that on an apostle's experience or a prophet's experience. And yes, of course, they do need an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely, they do. But it's not just for them. It's for the sons of God. It is for the overcomers as well. I pray that you will have an encounter with the risen Christ, that you will see him who is invisible, that you will see this word was made flesh, that you come to a place where you don't doubt anymore. My prayers are that you aren't dependent on the arm of the flesh, that you don't turn to man for the answers, but that you turn to God and that God speaks to you and you alone. And all my ministry is simply confirming what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. That's what I'm called to do. You will always know the anointing upon a minister because what he is preaching is your experience. What he is preaching is confirming to you what God is saying in your life. I cannot tell you over the years how often saints have come to me and said, you know, what you said today, that had to be God because you didn't know what I was going through. You didn't know that God had said that to me or whatever it would be. Well, thank God I don't know, because that's what makes this whole walk and ministry credible. And that is what ministry is to do. As God has set the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher, it is to be a confirmation to your life and walk, to the one you see, whom you see invisible. The word of God being taught should confirm those touches of God in your life. Because the enemy doesn't come along, doesn't he? And says, well, that wasn't of God. No, that was you. That was you imagining it or whatever it would be. Well, thank God when we get together, we hear the word of God being preached. No, that is God. That was God speaking to you. That was God blessing you. That was God touching your life. Why? Because you're getting it confirmed through ministry. Where God confirms through two or three witnesses, and this is how he does it, to confirm. Because we know the enemy can get vocal. He can get very loud and sound very persuasive. But God is always one step ahead. And why is he one step ahead? Because we see him who is invisible. Note the title, it says, seeing. It is seeing with those spiritual eyes. And those spiritual eyes enable you to be touched by Almighty God. That is why God works in a miraculous way. A Christian's life and walk is a miracle. It is miraculous. It isn't like religion or other religions where they're all striving to get to God. No, in the Christian faith, God came down to man in his state and sin. And there's the difference. And only God raises us up in Jesus Christ. No other religions can appeal to that. They're all trying to be good and to act good. And it's bondage. No. The Christian faith is ultimately that you see him who is invisible and that you walk like the great saints of old and the patriarchs. All walk the same and you walk the same. No difference. And as I close with this, why I stress this so much, because we are desperate for this, because the arm of the flesh, man is now failing. Big time. And you know that. You've only got to read and listen to the news and what's going on around the world. Everything is being shaken. God is starting to shake the heavens and the earth. And you think this is shaking? You ain't seen nothing yet. And he's going to shake and shake and shake until everything that is not of him will fall. And all that is of him and those who are seeing him who is invisible, they will be the ones who will stand in these last days. Because he that endures to the end shall be saved. And that is what's happening now. That is what is happening in the Christian church. God is shaking even the church as well. And it's not going to stop. So let that shaking cause you to see him who is invisible, where you are being touched by him, held by him, protected by him, that you can walk now by faith, not trusting in the arm of the flesh, not even listening to most of what man's saying now. There is such confusion on the earth. It is unbelievable. And the lies and the deception, whether it's in government, whatever it would be, you can't trust any of it. But thank God you can trust in his word. You can trust in the one whom you see invisible, because he will never let you down. He is faithful. He is more than faithful. Whatever you think about God, your experiences of him, and I trust that you've had experiences and you're being blessed, whatever it is, it's even more. Because you're dealing with Almighty God. So there we are, brothers and sisters, seeing him who is invisible. Let God touch you. Let God make this word become a reality in your life. Let this word bless you, heal you, deliver you, speak to you, guide you, preserve you, keep you until you meet him face to face in glory, because that is the power of God's word.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.